Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Quantum computing. I'm John Batchelor. Brandon Weikert of the National Interest joins me, my guide on quantum computing. There's the moon race, that was the 20th century. There's the AI race underway right now, artificial intelligence using large language models. And then there's the quantum race, very difficult to see. Brandon, however, brings my attention to the Chinese understanding of a race with the U.S. and its allies. I go to an article as recently as December of 24. China sees quantum technology as pivotal in global science and technology. Since 2022, China publishes more quantum-related research papers than any other country, including the U.S. China's technology development in quantum is mostly state-governed. The role of private capital in companies is much smaller in China than in the U.S. China leads in quantum communications. It boasts the world's largest quantum communication network of a length of 12,000 kilometers, which includes two quantum satellites. I'll stop there because there is something you can look at, hardware, software. Brandon, a very good evening to you. Most of this is boasting by China. We're spending this much. We're publishing these many papers. This is what we're going to do. However, we come to quantum communications. Their claim to be leading. Is that accurate? Good evening to you, Brandon.
Well, good evening, John. Thank you for having me. I would say if you're looking at that combination you mentioned of hardware plus software, I think, yes, the Chinese are leading. But as even the South China Morning Post recently had an article, both the Americans and the Dutch are actually pretty much neck and neck with the Chinese. But just in terms of sort of the underlying infrastructure, I would say China has the lead for now.
The contest, the race that I called it, is that accurate? Is it really that stark? First one to the moon wins. Wins what?
Well, you're basically talking about redefining the way we do telecommunications in the world. Now, in the 1940s and 50s, the United States had the lead in basically creating the global telecommunications network. And we were able to build upon that ultimately with the internet. That gave us a lot of advantages economically. It also gave us a lot of advantages from sort of an intelligence, signals intelligence perspective. The goal with what China's investing in terms of quantum communications and quantum internet is basically they want to do what the Americans did in the 1940s and 50s with telecommunications. They want to do that by dominating the new telecommunications revolution, making the world dependent on their stuff.
Quantum information theory, Wikipedia says, a communication channel which can transmit quantum information as well as classical information. Classical is what Brandon and I are doing right now, communicating right in a classical computer system. An example of quantum information is the general dynamics of a qubit. That's how that's why we call it quantum qubit. An example of classical information is a text document transmitted over the internet. All right, two different worlds, but what I understand about quantum communication, the reason you want it is not to make better phone calls, but because it can't be broken. It's a code that never can be cracked. Is that correct?
So that is one of the selling points. My friends at Fort Meade, though, will tell you, oh, no, we can definitely crack it. In fact, the NSA has for years had its own quantum cryptological unit working on really these next generation quantum computing and quantum communication revolutions. But ultimately, the thing with quantum communication is it's very hard to crack. And more likely than not, if you do try to hack quantum communications, you're more likely to destroy the information rather than to gain access to it, which in an espionage environment is not always a good thing.
So why are we chasing this? Is this making gold out of dross? Are we creating a race that will not be practical or, in our terms, can't monetize it?
Oh, I think you're definitely going to be able to monetize it. It's a question of when, not if. The Chinese have a head start on us. As you noted, they deployed their first satellites for quantum communications way back in 2016. And so they are clearly all in on this. And clearly the Americans now are getting into it. And as we talked about last week, there's been a real, with the rise of AI, there's a concomitant investment and interest in quantum technology generally in the American private and research sector. So I think it's definitely coming. It's a question of when and who's going to get there first.
This is a quantum network that has a quantum processor at one end, a quantum processor at the other end, over distances. And that's important, what kind of distance. That communication can be conveyed without anybody interfering in it. I've painted a very simple idea of it. Is that something we can't now do? In other words, aren't we secure with our classical computers? I thought we were.
It's all relative. Yes, you can encrypt information, but as we've seen, because the Americans built out the telecommunications revolution in the last century and then the internet, it gave us a lot of interesting advantages to be able to tap in and render those encryption systems, non-existent when needed. And the Chinese don't like that, obviously. And by the way, some of our European partners don't like that. One of the earliest investors in the Chinese quantum communication revolution were state-backed firms or state-affiliated firms in places like Germany, where way back in 2015, the German government didn't like that the NSA was reading their emails. And so their belief, and the belief of many, is that China can develop a system whereby the Americans won't be able to read their mail. Of course, the Chinese will, but that's another story.
What needs to be done? The Chinese model, according to the report, is state-driven. Is that going to be the answer for the U.S. to spend money by the state, or can our private enterprise do it?
Well, the state, the advantage of the state is that it lowers the risk for private capital to get involved. So basically, this is a very risky technology they're trying to develop. It, you know, if it doesn't yield immediate returns, there's no incentive for private money to be put into it. But if you can initially get buy-in from the tax dollar, that will lower that threshold of risk and allow for greater venture capital to get involved. That's the theory, at least, because right now it simply isn't being that seriously developed. It's only at Harvard where they're experimenting with this, and it's a very limited experiment, as that article shows.
2 years ago, artificial intelligence was an idea that was talked about in the Silicon Valley and nowhere else. Now it's raising money in all directions, that not even bothered to IPO, just making claims. Is that something that will happen with quantum? Is that a model? All of a sudden, it'll go from the lab to being competing between Google and Microsoft?
There's definitely a lot of claims being made about it. And yes, I do think that's what's going to happen. You're seeing this with right now that Stargate AI program that Ellison announced at the White House. They only have $100 million. They're trying to rustle up $400 million from the taxpayer. And so they're kind of, you know, hoping that announcing it at the White House will get them that extra money. Same thing's going to happen with the quantum technology in America. You're going to have a lot of innovators coming out making wild claims to gin up investment when they really don't have it yet.
Brennan Weichert is the senior fellow at the National Interest, who is also the national security editor at the National Interest.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.